First, before I start this year, I'd like to thank all of the Mishtatvim, Chazoka Shaliachos Shlichus, Dr. Landisman, gave me a very beautiful matana lekovet Chanukah from the whole Chevra at the very beginning of Chanukah. I was planning to thank everyone last week, but because I started off with the sad notification that Rabbi Schoenfeld passed away and Mrs. Kuperman passed away, so I didn't think that it was right to mix together the Simchas Chanukah with the sadness. But I thank everyone very much. All of the shurim this year are dedicated to Zecher Nishmas, Rav Chaim, Reb Avraham Arbisfeld, who passed away a few months ago. And tonight, one of the regular participants, Jay Katanik, has been out for a while. He had surgery, and now he has a mild case of COVID. And we certainly wish that the learning tonight should be a schus, that he should have a refuah shlema. Wouldn't be a bad idea if people would call him up in the hospital just to cheer him up. Okay, the last 2 weeks we discussed Chanukah, so I'm afraid maybe everybody already forgot what we were learning before. So let's go back a little bit. The Mishnah at the end of the first parak in Masechus Shabbos, there are 24 prokim in Masechus Shabbos. And the Malach HaShloima, which is one of the major commentaries on the bottom of the page in the big Mishnayos, Malach HaShloima comments that Rabbi Yudan Asi could have made it 30 prokim, like the Zikin, Baba Kama, Baba Tzir, Baba Basa, like Mishnayos Kalim. The reason why he made it 24 prokim is because Shabbos is always referred to in the Gemara as a Kala, Boichala, Boichala. And in the days of the Tanakh, it was a common practice based on Pesukim and Yecheskel that a Kala would wear 24 pieces of jewelry. A Chosn also should wear 24 pieces of jewelry. So some say a Chosn should cover the Chosn and should make a Siyam on all the Chavdal and Sifrei HaTanakh. Okay. So in the end of the first parak in Mishnayos Masechus Shabbos, the Mishnah quotes a machlekes between Meishama and Meisilala. You permitted to set up a system where the Malacha begins on Erev Shabbos and continues into Shabbos. So Meishama says it's not permissible, and we pass on like Meisilala, then it is permissible. So now the Mishnah says in the beginning of the third parak, Parakira, but there's one case where Meisilala agrees with the Meishama. You're not permitted to set up food that should begin cooking on Erev Shabbos and continue to cook into Shabbos. And it's not because of the malacha. No. The Vesilal hold the Alara, you're permitted to set up a system where malacha begins on Erev Shabbos and continues into Shabbos. It's also because of Exera Shem Yechata Begichol. So that's the reason why it's not permissible to do Shehiyah. Shehiyah means when you leave food on the fire on Erev Shabbos, and it's going to begin cooking on Erev Shabbos, and continue into Shabbos. So even Beisilal agree that that's not permissible because of Gzeir Shem Meyachata B'Gecholim. And what's so terrible if you poke around in the coals if you Mechata B'Gecholim? So we mentioned the Gemara says increases if a person is Mechata B'Gecholim B'Shegig on Shabbos, is Chayiv Tuchatois. Achas Mishum Mavir, Achas Mishum Mechabe. Some of the coals will be black, and because you poke around they will turn orange, they will flare up. And now some of the orange coals, because you're going to poke around, so they'll be on the bottom and they'll become black. So even though the coal is burning hot, when it's black, if you put your finger on it, you burn yourself. But still, if it's orange, then it's called the Eish. And if it's black, it's not called an Eish. That's what Moshe Feinstein writes in his Sefer, that if a person has an electrical stove, as opposed to a gas stove, you have an electric stove and you have circular bars or straight bars, whatever. So when the fire is on low, so the bars will be black. When it's on higher, then the bars will be orange. So if a person, you're not allowed to be moiled eish on yontif. If it's a din on yontif, you're permitted to do malocha letzarcha chamefesh. So if you want to cook food, so you're permitted, minatar, you're permitted to strike a match and make a fire and cook the food. But the Rabbanan, they said you shouldn't be moiled eish mecharesh, shouldn't strike a match. We only permit you to take a flame, minatar, it's the same thing. Whether you strike a match, you create a new fire, or you take an eish from a fire that exists already. But the Rais, it's all the same thing. But the Rabbana, they made a distinction. They said, Molad Esh Mechadish is not allowed. If you have a fire burning, then you're permitted to take an Esh from an already existing Esh. So Moshe Feinstein says, if you have the electric stove is on, and the coil is already orange, and you want to make it even hotter, and you want to make it more orange, so that's not Molad Esh Mechadish. There already is an Esh, that's Esh Menu Esh. But if the black coil, if the electric coil is black, even though it's burning hot, if you put your finger there, you'll burn your finger, it's burning hot. But if you turn the fire higher and the black coil is going to turn orange, that's considered Molad Esh Mechadish, and that's not allowed by the Rabban. Molad Esh Mechadish, the Ruba of the Poskim hold that on Yom Tov it's only forbidden by the Rabban. Min HaTorah, it's muta because of Echol Nefesh. The Taz has a difficult position, but all the Achreinim disagree. The Taz thinks that Molad Esh Mechadish, based on his diuk in the Rambam, he thinks that the Rambam meant to imply Molad Esh Mechadish is an Issa Derais. But the Poskim assume it's only the Rabban. The Nafkamina Molchat, we observe Dinim the Rabban also. What's the difference between the Derais and the Rabban? And Nafkamina is, let's say I forgot to leave the fire on Erev Yom Tov, and I permitted to ask my next door neighbor, the Nochri, to come in and light the fire for me. So we don't permit Amir al-Nochri on Shabbos and Yom Tov on Chol HaMoed. But if it's only the Rabbanon, if the whole Yisr for me, myself, to turn on the fire is only the Rabbanon, and I want to have warm food on Yom Tov, that's a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, Oynig Yom Tov. So to ask a Nochri to do an Yisr the Rabbanon, that would be called the Shvuz. So we pass, there's a Machloikis in Rishonim. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Machloikis, and the Hachra is that a Shvuz the Shvuz, Mamaka Mitzvah is Mutah. So they ask the Nochri to come and turn on the lights, let's say, I forgot to set the lights, and we're going to be eating in the dark on the Yom Tov. So it's not pleasant. So you want to have an Oynig Yom Tov, you want to have a Simchas Yom Tov. So they ask the Nochri to please come in and turn on the lights. They ask the Nochri to please come in and turn on the fire. That would be a shuz, the shuz, ma'akam mitzvah. You shouldn't rely on that lachatchila. You shouldn't assume, all right, I don't have to turn on the fire in Erev Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, and I'll need it, I'll call in the Nochri and ask him. Shuz, the shuz, ma'akam mitzvah is an emergency hat if you get stuck. It's not right lachatchila to do like that. Let's say the kula also, that if a person lives on the 25th floor, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, he wants to go up on Yom Tov for Shabbos, so to climb out 25 floors, he'll be exhausted by the time he gets to the top of his apartment. So most assume that completing an electrical circuit to get something done, if I'll push the elevator button myself, and the elevator will go up to the 25th floor, most assume that's only an Issa Derabbanan. So to ask the Nochri, the super in the building, or to ask someone an Nochri in the building to please push the button for me, so we assume that would be a shuz de shuz from Makam Mitzvah. But to rely on this lachatchila, that's not right. To buy an apartment lachatchila on the 25th floor, because you want to have a nice view on top of everybody else. The other buildings are not blocking your sight. And every shop is to rely on the kulav, shuz de shuz Makam Mitzvah. That's not right. It's an emergency kulav. So if he got stuck, so then we would permit it. So Nachamol. We don't permit Shehiyah to leave food, even Mesila, who allow you to set up any other malacha on Erev Shabbos. Any other malacha they allow, but food, we're afraid, Shema Yechalta B'Gecholam, you're not allowed to. Yeah, one of the things that we learned, we're in the middle of Reish Nun Gimel. So we learned a little bit from Reish Nun Beis. Reish Nun Beis, the Gemara quotes towards the end of the first parak in Masechus Shabbos. The Gemara quotes a braisa that if you have a mill and you put in the kernels of grain before Shabbos, and the mill is making a racket, making a big noise, all the people in the neighborhood hear it, and everybody knows that a shecht is mill. It says it has my name on the mill. So if I set up a system, so the braisa says if I set up a system that the mill is going to grind, I put all the chitim in the mill on Erev Shabbos, and it's going to grind everything on Shabbos, so the braisa says you're not allowed to do it. So that was a machlokes in the Gemara, and the machlokes in Rishonim had a paskin. So one opinion in the Mechaber Kwat paskin is like the one opinion in the Rishonim, that the braisa goes according to Beis Shammai. B'Shamay say you're not allowed to set up the system that any malacha should begin on Erev Shabbos and continue into Shabbos. That's the din of Shvisas Kalim. But since we don't accept B'Shamay's opinion, so we would permit it to put in the chitim on Erev Shabbos, even though they're going to grind on Shabbos and it's going to draw attention, they're going to make noise. We're not worried about the avshe milsa, about the racket that it makes. And the Rambam says we follow the other Rishonim. The other Rishonim have, it's a machlekes in the Gemara how to read the brisa. So the other Rishonim hold on. Even according to Beis Hillel, that you're permitted to set up a system on Erev Shabbos, that a malacha begins and continues into Shabbos, but it's going to make noise, and all the neighbors are going to see, and they know that this is Shechta's mill. If the mill belongs to an Achri, and I rented an hour, 2 hours worth, and I put in all the chitim on Erev Shabbos, and I'm going to go home, I'm not going to stay there. So they're not going to see me standing next to the mill. It's drawing attention to the fact that the goy's mill is making noise. Okay, so the goy is doing a malach on Shabbos, that's okay. But if the mill, everybody in the neighborhood knows that I own the mill, and is going to be drawing attention to the fact that malacha is happening, so that's option mill, so that you're not allowed to do. So that's what the Rambam, the Mechaber Rai said it's mutter. Mechaber is quoting that opinion in the Rishonim, following that opinion in the Gemara, that the Rai said it says it's not allowed, it's only Ali B'de Beis Shammai, who hold you're not allowed to set up a Shvisas Kelim, you're not allowed to set up a system where malacha is going to happen automatically in the middle of Shabbos. And the Rambam is machmer that the option also, if it's going to make noise and draw attention to the fact that a malacha is occurring, you shouldn't be permitted to do it. So it's there in Siman Reish Nun Beis, I think it's Sifhei, Reish Nun Beis Sifhei. So the Magen Avraham starts a discussion. He has an innocent little discussion, and so Rav Soloveitchik said that innocent little comment is the most important Shaila and Hilchos Shabbos in all of our generations in recent years, with all the technological advances and all the gadgets that we have and all the Shabbos clocks. And the Magen Avraham has a question. We paskin, you're not permitted to put in the grain on Erev Shabbos into the mill if it's known as Shechter's mill. We all know, all the people in the village, all the people in town know that mill belongs to me. So the fact that it makes noise draws attention to the fact that a malacha is occurring. So that's a zilusa de Shabbat. That's a bizoyim to Shabbos. So that's an isa de Rabbanim. Zilusa de Shabbat is an isa de Rabbanim. What if I would put the kernels of grain in the mill? I have a water mill. The river goes anyway. Whether I'm interested in harnessing the power or not, the river is going to flow anyway. So I put a big mill. I put a big wheel. And I set up a system because the wheel is turning anyway, because the water is flowing anyway. The wheel is turning, so it's going to grind up the kernels of grain. So what if I put the kernels of grain in on Shabbos? Is that an Issa deraisa or is that an Issa derabbanan? Tochen is one of the malachas. Maybe tochen is only a malacha deraisa if you do it biyad, you do it yourself. But maybe if you have a koyach hachamira boy, I harness the natural force of the river. The river is flowing bank of a call, and I have this wheel, and the wheel is turning anyway, and it's attached to a whole system where it can grind up kernels of grain. I throw in the kernels of grain on Shabbos, and I harness this koyach hachamira above the river, of the power of the river. Would that constitute a malacha deraisa, a malacha derabbanan? So there's a little Magen Avraham there that's in Reish Nun Beis, Sifhei. So the Magen Avraham is Siv Kot Nechof, not such a big Magen Avraham, Siv Kot Nechof. So he says he thinks maybe it's only the Rabbanim. So the commentaries on the side are not happy with that. And it's Siv Chaim, and the others are not happy. They think that should be an Issa Deraisa. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik once was giving a shiur to the RCA. So he said, this issue of Koyach HaChamira Boy, when do you say that it's koyach hachamira and it's an isa deraisa? When do you say that it's only grama? The Gemara said, if you do a malacha, you do grama, l'sasukom malacha, see who the osa grama shari. That's the Gemara on Daf Kuf Chof in Shabbos. The Torah says, l'sasukom malacha, only asiyah is prohibited, but gram malacha is mutter. What's the definition of gram malacha? So Rav Soloveitchik didn't agree with many of the other poskim. The Shmir Shabbos Kelchotza has adopted the position of some of the earlier poskim from 100 years ago, that whenever there's a delayed reaction, if I do a Maisa now, and the Melacha only occurs at a later time, so that's always going to be the Rabban. He didn't like that definition at all, and he thought that if you harness the Koach HaChamirabai, and right now the Melacha occurs, that's not Groma. That's Koach HaChamirabai. Koach HaChamirabai is a Melacha Deraisa on Shabbos. Let's say by Mevashel and by Ofer. I take food and I put it in the oven, and then I walk away and I go to sleep. And the oven, the heat of the oven, cooks the food. So by Bishul and Afiyah, it's always like that. It's always Koach HaChamirabai. I harness the power of the heat, and the heat cooks the food. Let's say Zoreh Beruch Misayaito. One of the malachas is Zoreh. He throws up if the wind is blowing, so the wind will blow the light, if you have mixed together the psolos with the ocha. So the straw is very light, and the kernels of grain are heavier. So the kernels of grain will fall down because they're heavier, and the straw is going to fly, the wind will blow it away. So I succeed in separating the Eichel from the Psoilus with the assistance of the wind. I harness the natural force of the wind. If the wind is not blowing, it's not going to work. But if you have a significant, if you have a big wind, so the wind will blow everything away. But if you have an intermediate wind, then only the light things will be blown away and heavy things will fall down. So that's a way to accomplish Borer without doing it Biyadayim. You harness the Koach HaChamirabai of the wind. Zoreh Beruch Misayaito. So that's the definition of the Melacha. So that for sure. You see, Koach HaChamirabai is an Issa Deraisa. But the Shaila is, what about over here? Let's say Tochen. Maybe the normal way to do Tochen is Biyad. That's what the Magen, that's what the Nesiv Chaim is explaining. The normal way they did Tchina in the Mishkan, all the Melachas are like that from the Mishkan. So the normal way they did Tchina in the Mishkan probably was that they were grinding things in a mill by hand. What if you have a water mill and the river is flowing anyway, and you have this wheel anyway, you just throw all the grain in, and then you don't do the Tchina Biyadayim. It happens automatically because you harness this natural force. So there is a Gemara in Perek HaKoneis in Bava Kamma, where the Gemara in the Gemara, the beginning of Bava Kamma, the famous Mishnah in the beginning of Bava Kamma says, Abra Avis Nesikin Hein, Shor Bora Mava and Hever. So the Gemara says, why are they called Avis? Because each one has told us. So whenever you have a Dova HaMazik that's sufficiently similar to Karen, a label that told us is Karen and told the same Kayotzeben. The told us have the same dinim as the others. Just like Karen, the first two times only says Katsi Nezik Yigufo, only says Nezik Shalom and Aliyah the fourth time. So whatever the told that it Karen, so Karen isn't the animal that makes a Hezik, Kavanos HaLahazik with its horns. What if the animal kicks? That's not normal for an animal to kick with a zam, or to push over another animal. The chifa, anything that's not normal. Or let's say one animal will eat another animal alive. Usually they don't eat other animals. It depends which animal is eating, which kind of an animal. So any animal that does a hesik in a mishunadika fashion is considered a tol that it carries. Whatever is sufficiently similar to Shem Beregel is told the same Kayetzabem, have the same thing as Shem Beregel. Whatever is sufficiently similar to H, whatever is sufficiently similar to Bor, so each one of the others, Nezikin, has a different quirk to it. Like a Bor is Patron Kalim, and H is Patron Toman, and Karen is only Chayv Chatzin Nezik Migu for the first three times. So the Toldos have the same dinim as the others. So the Gemara has to give you the definition. What's unique about each one of the others that you determine that this other hezek is sufficiently similar to that one and not similar to this one? The Gemara says that Eish is Koach HaChamirabai. Whenever there's Koach HaChamirabai, then I call it Eish, and Eish is Potter Antoman. Fine, Eish is going to be Potter Antoman. So the Gemara says in Perek HaKoneis that Koach HaChamirabai by Eish is only Chayiv. If the wind, I made a fire that could burn things, that could make a hezek, but the wind blows it further, if the wind wouldn't be blowing, it would only burn things in the immediate vicinity, right nearby. But the wind blows and it carries it to a further place. But what happens? I didn't even make such a big fire. I had a big fire burning. I had a barbecue. Then at the end of the barbecue, I poured water on all the coals except for one. I put out all the coals. And the one little coal that's still burning hot is Shvach HaMaisis. It can't make any hezek. But the wind is blowing. So before I drive away, I poured water on all the coals except for one. And before I drive away, I see that that one little coal is still, and the wind is blowing now. So if libo v'lipso haruach, if I needed the wind to blow to create eish as a dover hamazik, so then it's not included in the din of eish. If I need the wind to create the dover hamazik, then it's not eish. If I have a fire here, and the wind carries the fire to the dover hanizik, so that's the din of kach hachem yoreba that yechayev. But if I needed the wind to help me, libo v'lipso haruach, I fanned the flame a little bit, and the wind was necessary also to fan the flames to make it into a dover hamazik. Then the Gemara says it's not. I'm not chayev. That's grama ben ezik, and I'm not chayev mitam eish. So the Gemara says, Mashaini came by Shabbos. That by Shabbos, Zorah v'ruach misayayta is chayev. Why is it different? Because the pasuk says malachas mashevis. Yeah, the Gemara in Chagiga, the end of the first parak, points out the expression malachas mashevis never appears in the Chumash in connection with Shabbos. It appears in connection with Asiyas HaMishkan. All of the umnim, all of the experts, the artisans, and so on, all the people who were involved in Asiyas HaMishkan were doing malachas mashevis. So, but because the Tanoim had a tradition that we define malachas, whatever was in the Mishkan, that's the first half of the Kama. Ach dehavi b'mishkan chashi b'kor le'ahav, ach dehavi b'mishkan chashi b'kor le'tolda, whatever activities were important in connection with Asiyas HaMishkan are labeled as Ovis Nezikin. So that's how we established that there are 39 Ovis Nezikin. One Tana holds Aganzi Gematria, Eila HaDvar. But the Pnei Shua says Gematria is only Paparois LaChochma. It's not for the Midrash HaTor and the Reshes Behem. So how did they establish that there are Lamedes Ovis Malochas? So Gematria is Paparois LaChochma. But if you have a word, I would have thought Fakeret. But if you have a word that appears, let's say the word malocha, maleches, malachto, appears 39 times in Chumash. From the beginning of Chumash to the end of the Chumash, the word malocha, malachto, maleches appears 39 times. It appears more than 39 times. That's a whole discussion in different Rishonim. Which are you including, which are you not including? Different opinions. But that's how the Gemara makes a statement. The word malocha, malachto, maleches appears 39 times if you go from the beginning of Bereshis till the end of and that's not an asmachta. The fact that you have a gematria, dvarim ha-dvarim eila ha-dvarim aleph lamed hey is 36. And dvarim is plural, so it's 2 is 38. And hey, idea, eila ha-dvarim, that's how it's introducing Hilchot Shabbos, eila ha-dvarim, ha-shat tziv ha-shem es-maisha, so that the gematria is only paparos la-chochma. That's not from the midas, shatar and adreshes. But if you add up how many times the word malocha appears in Chumash, that's a midah gemura. That's a real midah. That's not an asmachta. I would have thought that's a balatur man chumash. But the Gemara has that. That's a real drashi Gemara. If you add up how many times the word appears. Like the Gemara says, how do you know that you need three hadasin? Because it says, anaf, eitz, obis. Because there are three words. That's how we establish that you need three hadasin. One Tana disagrees. He holds that one hadas is enough. Anaf, eitz, obis. But the l'chatchila, we're choshish, we're machme for that opinion. If you only have one kosher odus, it's a question whether we say a bracha or not. Do we really pass kamikra din one, or do we pass kamikra din it's three? That's a shayla and rishon. But this is considered a real midrash hatorah and midrash hashem to add up how many times the word appears. So again, so the phrase malachas mashevis never appears in Chumash. The Gemara Chagiga at the end of the first parak points out the phrase malachas mashevis never appears in connection with malachas Shabbos. It appears in Chumash in connection with malachas hamishkan. But because all the dinim of Shabbos are derived from the Mishkan, that's the first daf in Bava Kama. Ach David Mishkan Chashiv Kor Leav. Ach Delahavim Mishkan Chashiv Kor Leitod. How do we decide which of the 39 Ovis Malochas, whatever activity was important in connection with Asiyas HaMishkan, is labeled as an Av. So the whole Asiyas HaMishkan was done Malechas Mashelis. So I carry over that phrase, Melech Mashabes, applies to Melech HaShabbos, not only to Asiyas HaMishkan. So what do you learn out from the phrase Melech HaShabbos? So usually we say Melech HaShabbos tells you Lohakel in Hilchas Shabbos, that what? That Kol HaMekalkel in Ptur. A person does a Melech in an Oifen of Kilkel, so that's a Mishnah. Kol HaMekalkel in Ptur, because you're lacking Melech HaShabbos. What else? A person does a Melech Kalach HaYad. Let's say he's a righty and he writes with his left hand. So that's not the kalkel, but it's a kalachayad, that's a mishunah digavashin. Instead of carrying, let's say, he wants to carry some money with him, instead of carrying the money in his hand or in his pocket, he puts it in inside his hat, under his yarmulke, and he carries the money like that. So that's not a normal way to carry. Nobody carries like that. So that's kalachayad. Whenever you do a malacha kalachayad, it's not an isa derais. What else? Dov shein miskavi. So Tyson says that a gemara like this in Sanhedrin and Daf Pei Gimel, a person does a malacha on Shabbos Dov Sheinu Miskaveh. So even Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's aser. Not like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. We pass like Rabbi Yehuda. We pass like Rabbi Shimon that Dov Sheinu Miskaveh is muta. Dov Sheinu Miskaveh means I'm doing a pula hamuteris. I'm moving a piece of furniture on the ground, and there is no cement on the ground. It's earth, soft earth. And I don't know in advance whether it's going to make a charitz or not. And if it makes a charitz, that'll be a malacha. And I'm not interested in making a malacha. So that's a machlek, Zabir Reb Shimon. He's doing a pula hamateres, namely moving furniture. He knows in advance that if the furniture is heavy enough and the earth is soft enough, it'll cause a malacha to occur. But he's not interested in that malacha occurring. So that's called Dov Sheinu Miskaveh. So Tyson says, even according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, who holds in Kol HaTarakula, Dov Sheinu Miskaveh is an Issa Deraisa by other Isurim, but by Shabbos it can't be an Issa Deraisa because it's Sheinu Miskaveh. And the Chumash requires Malachas Machsheves. Machsheves means you have to have Machsheves, you have to intend for it. See, we said the other ones, Malachas Machsheves, if you do Mekalkil, or if you do Kalach HaYad, it's a lack of Malachas Machsheves. We're using the term Machsheves in the sense of Malacha Chashuva. He did a malacha in a normal fashion, and not in an oifen of kilkul and not kalach hayad. Now he's saying malachas machshavas, you were thinking about it. If it's a dov sheinu miskaveh, it can't be a deraisa. But the Gemara says if the person is misasik, a misasik on Shabbos is not chayv chatas because malachas machshavas are soter. Let's say the person knows you're not allowed to turn on the light. He didn't realize that you open the refrigerator, the light's going to go on. He didn't realize that. They're opening the refrigerator, the light's going to go out. That's misasek. He had no kavanas asiyah at all. So that's on the level of deraisa, that on Shabbos, that's not called a malacha at all. So the Gemara always has malachas, machshavas, asur Torah, in connection with Shabbos, even though it's not written by Shabbos, it's written by malachas HaMishkan, but our tradition has it that it carries over to Shabbos. The Gemara usually says malachas, machshavas, asur Torah, lahokil. Then the Hilchot Shabbos, it won't be an Issa Deraisa. Here, the Gemara in Perek HaKoinis says, Malachas Mal Shabbos HaSotara Lahachmer, that even though by Eish, it's called a Dabra HaMazik of Eish, if it has Koach HaCham Yurabai, that's only if the Koach HaCher is needed, I'm harnessing the natural force of the wind, it's Ruach Misayaito. I have a Dabra HaMazik, I have an Eish, I have a torch, but the fire can't go so far. I can only burn nearby, but I know in advance the wind is blowing and the wind can carry it further. So if the Koach HaCham Yurabai is Mekarev, the Dov HaMazik, to the Dov HaNizik, then you say Koach HaCham Yurabai is Eish. But if you need Libo V'Lipso HaRuach, the person is fanning the flame and the wind is fanning the flame. And without the wind, it's not going to turn into a Dov HaMazik. Then the Gemara says it's Grom HaBenizik and it doesn't have the Din of Eish. The hezek was done by the wind. So the Gemara says, "Masha'ini came by Shabbos," because since it says Malachas Masha'ini, so Torah, so that tells you that even if you harness the wind to do the malacha, Zorib and Ruch Misayaito, that's a malacha deraisa. See, here the Gemara, the Aglital points to that. Here the Gemara quotes Malachas Masha'ini lechumre, that in Hilchas Eish, Koach HaCham Yurabai will not be chayiv if Libo V'Lipso HaRuach, if he fans the flame and the wind fans the flame. But in Hilchot Shabbos, it will be chayiv. That's what Zerah is all about. That's what Mashal is all about. So that's a big question in the Rishayim. That's what the Magen Avraham raised the issue. And the recent farm from 100 years ago, the Afik Eyam, and others talk about this. The Eglei Tal talks about it. Do you say all the lametes of us malachas are like that? That a koach hachamura by if you harness a natural force and it helps you accomplish the malacha, that that'll constitute a malacha deraisa? Or maybe it depends on the normal way of doing the malacha. Maybe since the normal way in the days of the Mishkan was to do tchina biyad, they would grind up things with a handmill. They wouldn't have a water mill. They wouldn't have a river flowing and have a big wheel and have a whole contraption and just throw in the grain, and then the river does the tchina. So the Magen Avraham thinks that's in Reishnan base at Kot Nechav. Magen Avraham thinks that if you did that, you're not allowed to do it on Erev Shabbos if it's going to draw attention, it's going to make noise, because Avshan Milsa, that's the Ramah. And what if you did it on Shabbos? Would it be a Malacha Deraisa? It would also only be a Malacha Derabbanan. So the Magen Avraham thinks even if you do it on Shabbos, only Derabbanan. And many others disagree. Rav Soloveitchik thought that's the most important shaila in our generation, because we harness electrical energy to have all kinds of elevators work and an automobile works, everything. We harness other tools to do the malachas on Shabbos. Rav Soloveitchik thought that all of that would be a malacha deraisa. He didn't think that was called grama.
Rav Shechter, I have a question. So isn't Hilcha Shabbos bein dam ledam and Eishes bein din ledin? So we would not be able to learn out one from the other anyways. Why does the Gemara have to say that you need Melechas Machshev? Is there two separate areas of halacha?
That's a very good question. You have to know the background of Stanley's question. The background is that the quote in the name, Talmidei HaGra quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon, that the pasuk in Parsha Shoftim that says ki yipolim imcha dor ala mishpat bein dam ledam bein din ledin bein nega lenega, so they quote from the Vilna Gaon, kan kila this pasuk in Parsha Shoftim kila haTorah kol gimel chelkei haTorah. There are three areas of halacha. One area is dam ledam misa deheter. One area is din ledin dinim ominis. The third area is nega lenega tuma letara. So all the dinim within one area have to fit into one big pattern. So you can learn that midin echad lachavera. But all the dinim in the area of Tumah V'Tahara fit into one pattern. All the dinim and dinim amenus fit into one pattern. But you can't learn out. The Gemara says, Yisur mimamoyna lo yafina. And the Gemara says also in the end of Perek Mitzvah Chalitza, Yisur mitumah lo yafina. Because Tumah V'Tahara is one area, dinim amenus is the second area, and Yisur v'Hetah is the third area. So he says, we wouldn't have been able anyway to learn that. Why do you need the pasuk of you learn from the pasuk of Eish that there's a principle of koyach hachamiyura by, but that pasuk is only by Nezikin, so you shouldn't be able to learn out. Maybe you can learn out from Nezikin to other cases of Nezikin, but how can you learn out from that pasuk the Hilchos Shabbos? The Shabbos is the area of Yisavahat. That's a very good question. There is an opinion that the din, what you learn out from the pasuk Koach HaChamura Boy, is Chaya Bayesh, that Ishim Mishkim Chitzov, that's how we pasken. Ishim, this Gemara has machlokes of Yechon Reish Lakish. If a person takes a torch and he goes and he burns down someone else's house, the mezid of the miskavim be Yadayim, so that's not Eish. You don't say it's Potar and Tomah, that's Odomah Mazik. He just used the torch as a weapon, as a tool. That's Odomah Mazik. So he will be chayiv on Tomah. So if Kitzetze Yesh, Miatzma Mashma, he was negligent with the Yesh, and then it caused a Hezek, so that's a din of Yesh. And then you say, and then it's a Machlok Zab Yechon Reish Lakish, Kitzetze Yesh, if the fire breaks out, he doesn't do it b'yadayim, but he is aware that the wind is blowing, or the wind may blow. He knows that there is a Ruach Metzuya, so that's a machlok of Yechon Reish Lakish, and we pass like Rabbi Yechon. Ishem Mishem Chitzov is considered as if it's an Odomah Mazik, so he won't be Potter on Tomon. Eish is only Potter on Tomon, but it's only Ishem Mishum Amono. But most of the time, Eish will be Mishum Chitzov, as if he shot an arrow, be considered an Odomah Mazik. So there is an opinion, the Vilna Gaon thinks that the Ramam holds like that. there is an opinion that Isha Mishum Chitza, the Chiddush of the Pasuk. Pasuk says, the Gemara points this out. Pasuk says, Kiseitze Eish Mashma Me'elov. You were negligent, you had a barbecue, and you poured water on all the coals, and you were negligent, you didn't put out fully one of the coals, and then you left, you drove home, and then the wind is blowing, he sees the wind is blowing, and then the wind carried the flame, and it made $1 million worth of hefsek. So the Torah, even though Kiseitze Eish Me'atzma Mashma happened by itself, the pasuk concludes Shalem Shalem Hamavir Es HaBe'era. We consider him an Adam Hamazi. So the Torah says, that's what Rabbi Yochanan claims. The Torah says, Isho, if a person was negligent on the coal, Mishum Chitzov is considered as if he shot an arrow, and he won't be Potter on Taman. Only when Isha Mishum Amono, in another case, Isha Mishum, it's only Amono, it's not Chitzov, then it'll be Potter on Taman. So that's a big machlokes with the Isha Mishum Chitzov, which is learned out from the Pasuk Shalem Shalem Hamavir Es HaBe'era. Is that a Chiddush only in Hilchos Nezikin, or does it extend in Kol HaTorah Kulam? So the, let's say if I murder someone, are they Isha Mishum Chitzov? Will I be Chayv Nisa or not? If you can have such a case, would you be Chayv Nisa if you did Ritzicha Yidei Isha Mishum Chitzov? So the Vilna Gaon on the side of the Gemara claims that the Rambam's opinion is like the Shpitas HaGaonim, Isha Mishum Chitzov is only a din by Nezikin and cannot be extended anywhere else. And most of the Rishonim do not learn like that. Most of the Rishonim learn the Gemara, Isha Mishum Chitzov is a din in Kol HaTorah Kula. It even carries over to Ritzicha. So that's a good kasha what you're asking. Don't we have a klal? Yisur Mimamana Lo Yafino. The original Pasuk says, by Eish is Mamayna, and you're extending it to Ritzeach, let's say you have to bake the matzahs, you have to bake the matzah lishma. So how do you bake matzahs? You always do with the heat. But let's say the kneading, so what do you normally do? So normally you knead the dough. You pour the water and you knead the dough, and then you put it in the oven. So what if I set the whole thing up with machinery? Everything is on machinery. I just have a sack of flour here, and I walk away, and the machine is making baking matzahs. It's causing the flour to fall into the big vat, and the water goes in and it does the kneading. Everything is done automatically, and it goes into the oven. Not only the heat. When you put any food, let's say Hilchos Shabbos, when you put food in the oven that is cooked, it's always Karech HaChem Yorabai. But normally you do the Nesinus HaMayim yourself, and the Lisha you do yourself. Then the putting in the oven, you do it yourself. Here, I set everything up by machinery. I just push a button, then everything happens by itself. So is that considered Asiyah Lishma? You have to bake the matzah Lishma, or whatever. You can't do the heating Lishma. I turned on the fire Lishma. Okay. But then the heating is done by the fire. So I harness the natural force of the fire. So you got no choice over there. You put it in Lishma. Here you didn't even put it in. You pushed the button and the machinery did everything. Well, let's say you have to take wool and Hilchos Tzitzis. You have to take wool and convert it into string. That's called Tviya. So the Tviya, the Gemara says, the Tviya of the Chutei HaTzitzis has to be done Lishma. So what if you do Tviya by machine? Now they have machines that do that. You don't have to do it by hand. You push a button, it goes on for a couple of hours. It keeps on going. So is that called Tviya Lishma? I harness the natural force of electricity. Now that they know how to harness electricity, and it does the... So most of the poskim assume when you arrange for something to be done with the assistance of electric power, that's considered Isha Mishum Chitzov. It's considered as if he did the whole thing himself. That it is called Tviya Lishma, and it is called baking the matzah Lishma. So you're asking a good question. How can you, if the whole mocker of Karech HaChem Yorabai relating back to me, that it's considered my maisa is Rabbi Yochanan's din, that's the pasuk Shalem Shalem Hamavir Es HaBe'era. How can you learn out Yisur Mimamona Lo Yafina? That's a very good question. That's a Shas question. There are a lot of other Gemaras like that. Take, for example, the Netziv talks about this exact same kasha in a different context. The Torah says, when a man is about to die and he leaves a tzavoya, how they should divide his Yerusha. So he has to leave Pishnayim for the Bechor. And Sapchor ben Asnua Yakir. So the Gemara understands from the word Yakir, the father is believed to tell us which one is the Bechor. Let's say the father dies at the age of 120, and the children are in the 80s, the 90s, and they all look ancient, and you can't tell who's older than whom. Sometimes the one is 30 years old, that looks younger than the others. If he has a white beard, he has no beard. So the one with the long beard looks like he's older than the one who's clean shaven, and you can't tell who's older. So the father's believed to say, if you don't have birth certificates, father's believed to say who's the oldest who gets the Pishnayim. So we pass from Aloha, not only Kishem Shenem Alayim is Eben Ibechor, just like the Chumash says, Hasakhev and Asnua Yakir, father is Bagloib for Dini Mominous purposes. Father is believed to say Beniza Mamzeru or Beniza Ben Grusha Ben Chalutzehi. Father is believed to say on the children who are assumed to be his children, he's believed to say that this one is a Mamza and this one is a Chalo, and so on. So that's what the Nitziv works on that Kasha. How can you learn from one from the other? Isn't that a violation of the rule? Yisur min mamayna lo yafinim. So that's a very strong Kasha. There are quite a few Gemaras like that that seem to contradict these rules. Yisur min mamayna lo yafinim and Yisur mituma lo yafinim. So there are some overarching rules that should apply, sweeping rules that they should apply in Kol HaTorah Kula. And other dinim are just local dinim. So if it's a local din, it's hard to determine. If it's a local din, so then you say, Yisur mimamayna le'afinim, working out the details of the mitzvah. So the details of this mitzvah don't have to fit into the same pattern. If this is indeed imamilis, and that's an Yisur v'heter, they don't have to fit into the same pattern, so you cannot learn out mitin echad l'chaveira. But if it's not a detail of the mitzvah, it's a principle. It's a halachic principle, like the father is believed to say the status of his child. So that applies, even though the original pasuk only says by mominus, that applies even to Yisur v'heter. I didn't answer the question. You see from the Gemara that if it's an overarching principle, the rule doesn't apply. If it's a detail in the mitzvah, then these rules apply. Yisur mimamayna le'afinim. You have to collect all the Gemaras to see which cases the rule does apply, which cases the rule does not apply. But that's a very good question. That's a very good question. So nachum also. So that's the Morgan Avram thinks that you don't always apply this Gemara and Hakainis. Then Koach Hachem Yuraboy, if you harness a natural force in all the lamentas of his malachas, that you'll be chayef. He thinks it doesn't always apply. Sometimes he has, by Bishul, it's always karachachem yurad, by Zorah v'roch misayato, that's the definition of Zorah, Zorah v'roch misayato. The Rambam writes that by Tzod, if you have hunting animals, I have a hunting dog, when I go hunting for deer, so I send the dogs over there, and I block the way over here, so I have the assistance of the dogs. It's not called Shnayim Shasu. If you have two Jewish people joined together and they did Seder, so Shnayim Shasu is only the Rabban. That's the Gemara on Dab Gimel in Masechet Shabbos. Shnayim Shasu is only the Rabban. But if I do a malacha with the assistance of a hunting animal, that's the normal way to hunt. So then the Rambam says, Yechayiv Koris and Yechayiv Misa, that's a malacha deraisa. So then, if you say that some of the malachas yes, some of the malachas no, so what does it depend on? So it depends on the way they did it in the days of the Mishkan. That's what some of the Mefarshim write in Reish Nun Beis. Depends on how it's done in the Magen Avraham. When they're explaining this Magen Avraham, the Nitziv Chaim talks like that. It depends the way it was done in the Mishkan, or does it depend the way it was normally done at the time of Matan Torah? Whether it was done with a Korach Acher or was done by Adai Mamish? That's a question. Or should we assume, not like the Magen Avraham, that it's a rule, Korach Acher Mirabai, applies to all the Lamites of his Malachas? That's what Rav Soloveitchik thought. Should it apply to all the Lamites of his Malachas? That's a big shana. So at the end of the first parak in Masechet Shabbos, we have the machlokes bisham and bisil. So we pass the like bisilo, that it's permissible to set up a malach on Erev Shabbos that begins on Erev Shabbos and continues into Shabbos. But then in the third parak, Parakira, that begins with the din of shehiyah. That even Meisila will normally say you're permitted to start a malacha on Erev Shabbos that continues into Shabbos, but if it has to do with cooking food, we concern shemi echad to bigecholim. He may poke around in the coals, and because he wants to eat it tonight, so he may be afraid it won't be ready for tonight, and he may. And if you poke around in the coals, what avera are you? Which malacha are you violating? So that's the Gemara increases. Achayta bigecholim, chayv shtechatos. One is because machaba, one is because mavir. Because some of the black coals will turn orange, that's called mavir, and some of the orange coals will turn black, even though they're still burning out. That's called machaba. Because it's no longer called an ash. When you have the coal is so burning hot that it's orange, that it's red or orange, that's called an ash. And when it's black, even though it's burning hot, that's not called an ash. So that's shehiyah. What is hachazara? So hachazara is another din. We started, we didn't finish. Hachazara is a din. Min ha-Torah, the din is ain't bishul ha-bishul. We said there are three categories of bishul. There's bishul on food items. So if you take raw food and you cook it till you make it edible, till it's mechal ben derisai, then you chay mishum mevasha. If you take water, you can drink the water the way it is. The water from the tap is okay. But if you, so by water, you can't say the malacha bishul is if you cook the water till it becomes edible. The water was edible before, or you have orange juice and you cook it. When you make it edible, the orange juice was edible when you squeezed it out of the oranges. It was already edible. So the malacha of bishul by fluids, by liquids, is if you heat it till the point of yatzalel is by. And then the third case, the Gemara talks about bishul by wooden pegs or by tar. If you have a whole container full of tar, so room temperature is going to be hard. When you heat it, then it becomes liquefied, then it becomes soft. So that's the Gemara's definition of bishul by non-food items. Bishul by non-food items is that you heat it until it becomes soft. So there are three different violations of bishul. So since the definition of bishul by food items is I cooked it till it became edible, so that's why we have a din of a bishul achad bishul. Let's say we bought raw chicken and raw flesh, and my wife cooked it, so now it's roi lachim. And then on Shabbos, she's going to take it out of the refrigerator, put it back on top of the fire, and warm it up. So warming it up doesn't make it roi lachila. It's not, if you take it out of the refrigerator, you can eat it the way it is. Oh, now it tastes delicious now also. Not you take it out of the freezer, it's hard like a rock, it's ice cold. It's in the refrigerator, it's cold. It'll taste delicious the way it is now also, but it tastes even better if it's hot. So if you eat food that was cooked already, by definition, that's not called bishul. So that's the din. Ein bishul ha-bishul. Ein bishul ha-bishul. So menatari would be mutter to take out a kugel or to take out flesh, a chicken, or things like that from the refrigerator and reheat it on top of the fire on Shabbos. Because ein bishul ha-bishul. So with the Rabbanan, they said, you're not allowed to do that. Even though menatari it's mutter, that's called hachazora. To take the fully cooked food and put it back on top of the fire to make it warm, to make it hot, you're not allowed. What is the nature of the Issa? So we spoke already a few times. That's a big machlokes, the Chachmei Svarad and the Chachmei Ashkenaz. So the Mishnah Brura writes an introduction to Simon Reish Gimel. He writes a paragraph in the beginning. He says everything is complicated here. He's going to give an introductory explanation. So he points this out. The Balei HaTosfos, Rabbi Natan, and the Sefer Yosha, and the Tosfos, and a few places in the first two plot in Perek Hira, in the third Perek, they repeat this idea a few times. The Balei HaTosfos, we have the opinion. That's how there are more paskins like this Shittas HaTosfos. Just like the prohibition of Shehiyah is because of the concern Shema Yechata Digecholim, so the prohibition of Hachazara is also because Shema Yechata Digecholim. The reason why you're not allowed to take the fully cooked food or kugel, chicken or flesh, from the refrigerator, put it back on top of the fire, we're afraid Shema Yechata Bigecholim, even though the fire is there, he may realize that the fire is too high or the fire is too low. He left the fire on by Lichbenchen before Shabbos. And now when he takes out the food from the refrigerator, he's going to realize the fire is too high, the food is not going to get hot, it's going to get burnt. If the fire is too high, not if you have the fire is too high in a kettle of water, so the water will get burning hot faster. But if the fire is too high on the chicken or the meat will burn. Or sometimes if you have soup, you're warming up soup, the soup will burn. It's not that it'll get hot faster, but it'll simply, if it's too high, it'll get, if the fire is too high, it'll burn. So the Tosfos Shita is that the prohibition of Hachazara is the same reason for Shehiya, Shemeichad B'Gecholim, the same thing as by Hachazara. And the Chachmi Svarad were of the opinion that they're two different Gzeiros. Shehiya, Shemeichad B'Gecholim, that says in the Gemara. But Hachazara is not Shemeichad, but rather Bishul. Even though Minatarein Bishul Achad Bishul, but with the Rabbanon, they declared that Yesh Bishul Achad Bishul. So what's the definition of Bishul? Usually Bishul on the level that I say means I take food which is not edible and I cook it and I make it roi lachila. It's edible kamachal ben de risoi. If I take a steak and I broil it rare done, so some people will enjoy it, other people will want that it should be well done. And some of the people will like it when it's rare. So that's machal ben de risoi, some people will enjoy it. But what if I already have the food is fully cooked already, and then I just reheat it? So on the level of the rice, I haven't violated bishul. But what's the definition of bishul by liquids? So the water, you can drink the water that comes out of the tap without cooking it. So what's the definition of bishul by liquids? If you heat it till the point of yatsa levisbo, and if you just make a lukewarm hefshera, lo zehu bishulo, the Gemara said. Poshim is not enough. Poshim is lukewarm. If you take cold water and make it lukewarm, so we pass can have share of those, that will be shula. It's only called bishul if you heat up the water till the point of yatzalan. So here, with the Rabbanon, they took the definition of bishul by liquids, namely when you heat up the liquid till the point, till the degree temperature of yatzalan is bow, whatever that is, the machma 120 and up, 120, 140, 160, something like that, that's bishul. So you take the definition of bishul by liquids and you apply it to solids. So if you take a kugel, or you take chicken and meat from the refrigerator, fully cooked, and then bishul ha bishul, because the definition of bishul by Yochanan is to make it edible. It is edible already. But you heat it till the point of yatzaledes, so that's bishul midrabon. So they call it Mexican mevashel. It means it's not bishul deraisa, it looks like bishul, so they prohibited it midrabon. Yeah, what's the difference halacha lemaisa between Tosfos, the Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos on the one hand, and Chachmi Svarad on the other hand, whether the prohibition of Hachazara midirabbanan, what's the nature of the issa, whether it's Mishum Bishul midirabbanan, Hashem Yechate? So the difference is a major difference. A major difference. The Gemara says that since the prohibition of Shehiya, to leave the food on the fire on Erev Shabbos and it should get cooked into Shabbos. That's why you have to leave a blech, so that takes off the chashash. The blech is a heker, so that'll remind you not to tamper with the coals, not to be mechat to be gechol. So, because this prohibition of Shehiya, to leave food on the fire on Erev Shabbos and it should get cooked into Shabbos, the reason for the gzeirah shemichat to be gecholim, so they only prohibited it if the food is al gabi ha'esh, if the pot with the food is on top of the fire. So the fire is right there. Shem yechad to b'gecholim. Well, let's say the boy's in the dormitory and he doesn't have any fire in his room. In the wintertime, they have steam that comes up in the radiator. So there's a boiler in the basement, and the boiler in the basement has a fire over there. But when the boy's in the dormitory room, he doesn't have any fire there. He just has the radiator with the steam and the radiator. So there's nothing to be mechata over there. You're going to say, let's say he has a little refrigerator in his dorm room, and he bought some food from the local meal mart. So he's going to take the food out on Shabbos, fully cooked. The chicken or the kugel is fully cooked. He's going to put it on top of the radiator in the wintertime when they give you the steam. You're going to put that on the radiator. So what are you afraid? Shem yechad to be gone. Where? He's going to go to the basement to fool around with the poke around and the coals over there. There are no gecholim over here. So whenever you do shehiyah, shaloy al gabi ho'esh, the samuch la'esh, so not al gabi ho'esh, then it's mutter. So the question is, what about hachazor? What if you take out from the refrigerator on Shabbos? What if you take out food from the refrigerator on Shabbos? and you put it on top of the radiator on Shabbos. It's not Agabi Hoesh. The Hesh is in the basement by the boiler. So if you say that the reason for the prohibition, the Rabbanon, of HaChazorah is the same as the reason for the prohibition of She'iyah, Shema Yechata, and the Gemara says, B'feirush Shema Yechata was never instituted by She'iyah, when it's not Agabi Hoesh, then HaChazorah also only applies if it's Agabi Hoesh. So then it'll be Mutta Legamri to take out food from the refrigerator and put it on top of the radiator because it's not Agabi Hoesh. What is another case where it's not Agabi Hoesh? Let's say the fire is so high, if I take out the chicken or the kugel from the refrigerator, I leave it on the enamel on the side of the stove. I don't put it on top of one of the burners where the fire is. I put it on the side. And that's also called besamach. Tosis raised the possibility that maybe it's only called besamach if there's a doifen matzik. If you have a fire inside the furnace, you have logs in the furnace with a big fire, and I take food and I put it on the outside of the furnace, and there's a wall of the furnace, a wall of the stove, if it's matzik in between the fire which is inside.
Rebbe, you muted yourself.
Okay. So that idea that Tosis, thank you. So that idea that Tosis says that it's only called somuch if there's a doifer matzik, that's not accepted in Halach. In Shulchan Aruch, we assume that even if there's no doifer matzik, the fire is right over here, the burner, and the enamel is right next to it. But instead of putting, I take out the food from the refrigerator, instead of putting it on top of the burner, I put it on the enamel, which is next to the fire. That's also called besamach, and it's mutter. We all know that's mutter. To do hachazor besamach is mutter. Why? Because we don't pasken like the chachmi svarad, that it's bishul. If the prohibition would have been bishul, so bishul is bishul be'esha betoldus ha'esha, is the same malacha deraisa, whether you cook directly on top of the fire or next to the fire, or even, let's say, if you have a frying pan that was heated up, on top of the fire. Then I take the frying pan off of the fire and I crack open an egg on top of that frying pan. So the burning hot frying pan is considered toldos ha'esh. So bishul is deraisa, whether it's al gabi ha'esh. Let's say I have the frying pan is on top of the fire. I crack open an egg and I make a scrambled egg on top of the fire. That's bishul deraisa. Or if the frying pan was heated up because it was sitting on the fire, then I take it off of the fire. I crack open an egg and I put it there. So that's Bishul betoldos ha'esh. Bishul betoldos ha'esh also nisa deraisa. Bishul is a malacha deraisa, even if it's not agabi ha'esh. Even if it's done betoldos ha'esh also deraisa. So that's the nekudas ha'machlekes between the Tosfos and the Chachmei Svarad. The Chachmei Svarad, it's a question how to read a certain Gemara on the first Amud Aleph. Perikir begins on Amud Beis. So the next Amud, the first Amud Aleph in the Perik, the Tosfos and the Ramban already have the machlokes. So the Ramah passed in the Shulchan Aruch lahakil, that just like is mutter to do she'iyah b'samach without a blech, you don't need grufa k'tuma, you don't need a blech to do she'iyah b'samach, only if you're putting agabi ho'esh, so too you're permitted to do hachazorah, to take out food from the refrigerator and reheat it if you're not putting an agabi ho'esh. If you put it b'samach lahaish, even though there's no dofen mafsik, we say that it's muta b'samach, because the whole gzera the Rabbanon was Shema Yechata, and Shema Yechata they only instituted the gzera if it's agabi ho'esh. If it's not agabi ho'esh, then there's no chashash. Yeah, and then there's a third iser on Shabbos of Hatmana that we spoke about. Two kinds of Hatmana. If you have the food is in the pot in which it was cooked and it's still burning hot, so on Erev Shabbos, there's an Issa Hatmana on Erev Shabbos, and there's a Mochamadik Issa Hatmana on Shabbos. So Issa Hatmana, the chol on Erev Shabbos is, if the food is still in the pot in which it was cooked, let's say it's the summertime, so the balabas that the house is hot enough, she doesn't want it to be hotter. So she, before she benches lech, the balabas that turns out all the fires, so the soup is not going to be hot. On Friday night, the husband comes home from davening. She's going to bench licht now. The husband's going to come home in 45 minutes. It's going to be cold. So she has the soup in the pot in which it was cooked. And the fire is off. But she wraps the pot with with some kind of material that's a davar hamosif hevel, that gives off a little heat. Gives off heat, it doesn't mean that it's making the soup hotter. The soup is cooling down. The soup is not going to keep on getting hotter and hotter and hotter. The soup is going to cool it. It's going to cool down. But because the material that she wrapped it with is a davar hamosif hevel, it gives off a little heat. So it's going to take a longer time till the soup is going to cool down. So b'chol, to do hatmana on Erev Shabbos, they only prohibited if you're doing hatmana in the kli rishon in which the food was cooked, and the davar hamatman, you're wrapping on top and around and all, and the davar hamatman is touching the pot, it's touching it all over. So if your davar hamatman is a davar hamosif hevel on Shabbos, it's mochomer, this gzeira is mochomer. So on Shabbos, you're not permitted to do hatmana, even if it's not a davar hamosif hevel, even if it doesn't give off any heat. So the end is going to be the soup is going to cool down anyway. But it's going to take longer to cool down because you wrapped it around with davar hamamid hevel. So that, the Gemara says, why did they prohibit hatmana? So hatmana, the Gemara says also, the gzera of hatmana was because shemi echata b'gecholim. Also because of shemi echata b'gecholim. All three, according to Tosa, all three. Hatmana and shehiyah and hachazara, all three were shemi echata b'gecholim. So when is it permissible to do hachazara? Let's say if you had a pot of soup. You had a pot of soup on the fire, and you want to, let's say, in a hotel. So you have a lot of guests. So not everybody's getting ready for the soup right now. So they're going to take out some of the soup now and put it into the bowls. And then other people by the Nisach Sfait Minyan, that takes them longer to daven, or faster to daven, whatever. So not all the Minyanim are going to finish at the same time in the hotel. So some of the people are coming now, some of the people are going to say, Askinu Sudasin is going to take them forever. They're not ready for the soup till half an hour later. So what do you do? So let's say when you serve the soup to the first guests, do you put in the soup is on top of a blech, which is on top of the fire. So do you put in a ladle and you take out some of the soup and some of the vegetables, everything in the soup? So then we have a chumrah that if you stir a pot that has on top of the fire, and food is cooking in the pot, if you stir it, that's a chashash of bishul. I would have a kalal ein bishul ha bishul. Everything is edible the way it is now. So what do you mean there's bishul ha bishul? And the soup is burning hot. What kind of bishul? So it's a difficult chumra we don't understand. It comes from one of the Rishonim, from the Kolbo, one of the later Bali Atesis. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Achrayim, and we don't really understand what it's all about. But fafal, so we're machmer. So if you want to serve, let's say, in the hotel or the balabasta, if she wants to serve the soup, she can't leave the soup on top of the fire and put in a ladle and take it out. Someone has to pick up the pot of soup. This chumrah, that if you stir the soup in the pot, is a violation of bishul, which we don't understand what the chumrah is all about. That chumrah only applies when the food is still agabi hoish. But if you need three hands over here. You need one person has two hands, he's holding the pot of soup with the handles, and the other person is taking the ladle and taking the soup out. So you succeeded, you can't put in the ladle and take out the soup while the pot of soup is still on top of the fire. Because you'll be stirring everything together, and we're machmer that's an Isur HaBishul. So you have to have someone hold the soup, not al gabi hoish. And then after that, but the other people, they didn't finish davening yet. So you want to put the soup back on top of the fire. So you want to do hachazara. So when do you permit hachazara? It's only permitted, number one, you have to have a blech to remind you, shema yichata b'gholim shouldn't be machata. Number two, it has to be oda b'yodai, the pot of food, you shouldn't have put it down somewhere. Number three, it has to be daita lahachzir, it's all based on Gemara's. So when you put it back on top of the fire, it's considered a hemshech of its being on the fire before. To take out food from the refrigerator, put it on top of a blech on Shabbos, we don't allow. That's shemei echata. But if the food was on the fire before Shabbos began, and you took it off and you're holding it, and you had a mind to put it back on, so if you have the combination of all of these considerations together, you have grufa k'tuma, oda b'yoda, daita lahachzir, And then you have a fourth consideration, a fourth factor, loinitztan legam, it didn't cool down to room temperature, it's still well above room temperature. So the combination of all four factors together makes it that it's mutter to put it back on top of the fire. So that's when we allow hachazara on Shabbos. Is considered a hemshech of the nesina from before. Let's say the food, let's say the pot of soup is inside the oven, in the hotels, let's say. Pot of soup is inside the oven, and then they want to serve soup. Some of the guests are ready for the soup now. So someone takes out the pot of soup, and someone else, you need two people at least. So one person holds the pot of soup in the two hands, and the other one is using the ladle and pouring the soup into the bowls. And then the one who took out the soup, he wants to put it back into the oven. So the Gemara says, no. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gemara. We allow hachazara to put it back on top of the fire if the fire is on top of the burner. The burner is on top of the stove. But to do hachazara back al tocha kira, to put it back inside the kira, that's not allowed. Why? Because that's what Rav Soloveitchik interpreted. The Gemara doesn't explain why. Why does it make a difference that hachazara is only mutter Al-Gabi HaKira, but Hachzorah, we don't allow Al-Toch HaKira. Why is there a difference? So the Rav understood because Hachzorah Al-Tocho is going to be more noticeable, more conspicuous that something changed. Because for a few moments, the pot of soup was outside of the oven, and now it's inside the oven. Now it's covered up again inside the oven. So that's too much of a difference. That's called the Nesina Mechadosh. But if you took it off of the burner on top of the oven, then you put it back on top of the burner, so it's not that much of a difference. It is a major difference. It's before it was on top of the fire, then not on the fire, now it's back on the fire. But it's not inside the oven. So that's considered a hemshech from before. So these are the four conditions that you need to allow hachazor. It should be guf haktum, you have to have a blech, oida biyodai, he didn't put it down on the table, he didn't put it down on the floor. He planned all along to put it back on top of the fire. And the fourth condition is loinitztana legamrei. What is that fourth condition all about? So the Mishnah Berurah points out, Rav Soloveitchik like this Mishnah Berurah points out that there's a machlokes, the Vilna Gaon and the Magen Avraham, what this fourth condition is all about. Loinitztana legamrei. So the Magen Avraham understands that this fourth condition applies both to soup and to chicken. Let's say they have a tray of chicken. And chicken, the din in Torah is a bishal ha-bishal. Once it's already fully cooked, it's not bishal ha-bishal. It's only an isa derabbanan to take out from the refrigerator and put it back. So what if the chicken was on top of the fire, in the oven? Chicken was in the oven, let's say. And you took it out and you want to put it back on top of the blech on top. So you're holding the chicken so long till you're serving all the different guests in the hotel who came first. And now by the time you want to put it back on top of the blech, on top of the oven, all the chicken cooled down to room temperature. So that won't be an issue of bishal ha-bishal. It ain't bishal ha-bishal. It's already cooked, it's already edible. So the Magen Avraham says, even though there's no issue of bishal deraisa here, still, if it's nitzana legamre, if it cooled down to room temperature, so it's no longer a hemshech of the original shehiya, then it's considered like a nesina mechadosh. So that's why the Magen Avraham understood that this fourth condition that the Ramah adds on, that you need, lo hiniach agabi karka, he didn't put it down, oide biyod, and daita lahachsim, rufa ktumi need of lech, this says in the Mishnahis in the Gemara. And lo nitztan legamrei, that the Ramah adds on. That doesn't say in the Gemara. What is that loinitztan legamrei all about? So the Magen Avraham understands that if it cooled down to room temperature because you're holding it so long, you can't say that by oida biyada v'daita lahachzir, it's considered a hemshech from before. It cooled down completely from before. So then it's called an asini mechadosh. So this requirement of loinitztan legamrei applies equally to a dove gush and to a dove alach, whether it's chicken or kugel or it's soup. The Vilna Gaon writes on this, the Vilna Gaon always gives you just Mar Mekoymus. He doesn't give you any explanations. So the Vilna Gaon writes on this, when it says you need Loinitztan and Legamrei, the Vilna Gaon writes, Kanal, Kaniska Liel, as mentioned above. It was never mentioned above. Where was it mentioned above? So the Mishnah Berurah explains, that's a Rav Soloveitchik like this. Mishnah Berurah explains, when you're doing hachazara, when you want to put food back, let's say you left food on the fire and you took it off, then you want to put it back. So let's say for argument's sake, like this. Let's say I left the steak on top of the fire and the steak is rare done. So some people enjoy, other people will not enjoy. So I take the steak off and I serve to those who like it the way it is now. Then I want to put it back on top of the fire that it should stay for another hour so that the people who like well-done steak will enjoy it. So that's a question of bishalach bishal deraisa. When you say ein bishalach bishal, does that mean if nothing is accomplished by the second bishul to make it more edible? It's mavushal kol tzarka the first time. So then you take it out of the refrigerator, you put it back on top of the fire, just heating it. So that's the definition of bishul by liquids. But that's not the definition of bishul by double gush. Definition of bishul, there's a definition of bishul by ochlim and by mashkim and by non-edible items like the tar and the pegs of wood if you eat it until it gets soft. So the definition of bishul by water is I heat it till yatzalet. So the Chachamim took the definition of bishul by water and they applied it to food. By the Isra of HaChazor, according to the Chachmei Svar, that the prohibition of HaChazor is not Shem Yechata, but it's rather Mishum Bishul. So the Shulchan Aruch says, whenever you have a heta to do HaChazor, you have to make sure that you're not violating the rules of HaChazor. You have to make sure you're not violating the rules of Bishul Deraisa. The rules of HaChazor are all on the assumption that on the level of Deraisa, there's no problem, because then Bishul Ach Bishul. But let's say you have food that was cooked kemaichel ben derusoi. Some people will enjoy it the way it is. Other people will not. So I take out the food from the refrigerator, rare done. I put it back into the oven. I put it back on top of the fire, whatever. And I let it cook for another hour, and now it's well done. So it's more mavushal. Before it was only mavushal kemaichel ben derusoi. Now it's mavushal kol tzarkoi. So more people will enjoy eating it. So that the Rosh quotes a machlekes a rishayim about that. So we're machmer on that's a chashash bishul deraisa. That's a chashash bishul deraisa. So that says in Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to do hachazara, but you have to be careful if the food that you're holding in your hand, you want to put it back on top of the fire, on top of the blech, if it's not mavushal kol tzarka Friday night, if it's not yet mavushal kol tzarka, some people enjoy it the way it is. Other people would want to have that it should be mavushal kol tzarka, then there's no heta to put it back on top of the fire. That's a chashas of bishul lach bishul deraisa. So that's what the Vilna Gaon says when Ramah adds on another condition. You have to be careful that it should be loinet stana legamre, it didn't cool down to room temperature. So the Vilna Gaon says, kanal, as was mentioned above, that whenever you do hachazara, you have to make sure you're not in violation of bishul deraisa. So the Vilna Gaon seems to have understood that this Nitztana Legamre is a klal that only applies to soup. Because if you have soup, there's a big machlokes in Rishani, but he say, Ein Bishul Lach Bishul. If you have water, what's the definition of Bishul water? You can't say, well, you cook the water till you make it edible. The water, when it comes out of the tap, is already, you can eat it the way it is, you can drink it the way it is. So the definition of Bishul by water is, when you heat it till the point of Yatzalet is by. So the question is, what if you cooked water, you heated it, Yatzalet is, then you cooled it down, you put it in the refrigerator. Then you take it out of the refrigerator, just plain water. Take it out of the refrigerator, put it back on top of the fire. So you took it from ice cold, and you made it back Yatzalet is. So that's a big machlokes in Rishonim. Many Rishonim hold the Yesh Bishul Lach HaBishul, there is over there. Because the whole definition of Bishul by water, by liquids, is heating it up till Yatzoletis. So if originally I heated it up and I put it in the refrigerator, and now it's mamish room temperature, cold refrigerator temperature, now I'm going to put it back on top of the fire, make it Yatzoletis. The Zoom tell you the point and say that's Bishalach Bishal Deraisa. So we're machmer for that. The question is anybody makel on that? That's what the Egel Tal wants to say like this. Deg Leital originally started writing on all the Lamedes Ovis Malochas, but he never finished all the Lamedes. But the Sefer was called Deg Leital. So all the rest of the Malochas that he never finished, at the beginning of every Malocha he has in the Avdei Nezer, in the Tshuvas. and those that he completed, the first 15 malachas hasav he completed, all the din derais, all the din rabbanon, all of his pilpulim, all of his chidushin, so those he put in the sefer eglei tal, and the rest of the other malachas till the completion of the 39, he has all the haschalas in the avnei nezer chuvis. So in the eglei tal, he has a suggestion like this: by water, he thinks all the tanaim, all the rishonim will agree that yesh bishalach adishal. Because by water, the water was edible before also. The water from the tap is edible. The whole definition of bishul by water is you make it yatza lettuce, so once it goes down to room temperature and you heat it back up again, of course it's a malacha deraisa. Of course, not only if it goes down to room temperature, even if it's below yatza lettuce, but even if it's lukewarm and you put it back on top of the fire and you make it yatza lettuce, that should be bishul, acha bishul min ha-teira by water. The Eglei Tal thinks the whole machlik is in the Rishonim by Bishalach HaBishal, the Davalach was only by soup. Because when you take water and you put in vegetables and chicken and everything and you make a whole concoction of a soup, then you put it in the refrigerator, so it doesn't revert back to become its original state. The water doesn't turn back to become water. It remains soup. And you can eat the cold soup, it'll also taste delicious. If you heat it up, it'll even taste better. If you heat it up till it's, if it's lukewarm, if you make it burning hot, it'll even taste better than if you make the soup lukewarm. I enjoy soup when it's burning hot, so it'll even taste better. So the Eglei Tal thinks the whole machlik is in Rishonim, where the yesh bishal achabishal deraisa, the dovalach, is only a machlik is by soup. By water, he thinks l'chol adei is yesh bishal achabishal. Because the effect of the first bishal was worn off. I heated it till it reached yatzoledis, then it cooled down below yatza lettuce. It's lukewarm. It's lukewarm. But it's not room temperature. Even if it didn't go down to, well, how much is room temperature? 73 degrees, I don't know. Whatever, I'm not sure. But yatza lettuce is much more than that. So let's say the plain water went down below yatza lettuce, he put it back on top of the fire and make it above yatza lettuce. So the Eglei Tal thinks that that should be an isa deraisa l'chol adeis. The ganza machlokes only is if you took water and you made it into soup. So when you put it in the refrigerator, the water should be soup, doesn't revert back to become plain water. It remains soup. So maybe that should be also ein bishal habishal, like chicken. The chicken was edible after you cooked it. And now you're just reheating it, just warming it. So by definition, that's not called bishal. So you've also, the soup tastes like soup from yesterday. I made the soup on Erev Shabbos. The soup tastes like soup if I take it out from my refrigerator also. When I reheat it, so that's like reheating chicken. So the Eglei Tal wants to say that the whole machlokes only is by soup. And by water, they all agree that for sure it should be yesh bishlach habishal derais. See, that's why the Eglei Tal visualizes like this. You have a blech on top of the fire, and you're going to serve the soup first. So when the husband comes home and before he starts singing Shalom Aleichem, so the balabas, the seastwood, that she puts the soup on the blech on top of the fire because she wants to serve the soup, then it should be hot. When she takes the soup off, then she, next thing she's going to serve is going to be the chicken. So she puts the chicken or the flesh, whatever, she puts that on top of the fire. And when she takes off the chicken, then she puts the kettle of water, which is on the side of the blech. It was lukewarm. When she takes the kettle, when she takes off the flesh to serve the flesh, then she puts the kettle of water on top of the fire. It was on the blech a little further away. And now she puts it on top of the fire because some of the people, Europeans, like to enjoy drinking hot tea at the end of the meal. So she wants it to be burning hot tea. So that's what the Eglei Tal says, wait a minute. When she had the soup on top of the fire, so the kettle with the water was up on the side. It wasn't burning hot. It could be that it was below yatza lettuce. And then when she could put the chicken with the potatoes and everything on top of the fire, on top of the fire, and then again the kettle was on the side, so it was only lukewarm at that time. And then when she wants to reheat the water in the kettle, he says that should be a malacha deraisa. Everyone should agree by plain old water. Plain water, everyone should agree that yesh bishlach habishal deraisa. See, the Ramah made a compromise by soup. The Ramah because then it's a machloikis, but he says yesh bishalach abishu b'dovalach by soup. So the Rama says meikir adin ain't bishalach abishu even in soup. But the Rama made a compromise. If it's nitzan legamre, then we're machmer. If it goes down to room temperature, if it didn't go down to room temperature, then I say it's a hemshach of the original bishul. So you're not doing a bishul achad bishul. If it went down to room temperature, then it's like a nesinim echadish, and then I say that yesh bishul achad bishul. So degle taltainis, Rav Soloveitchik said it over in Shia. Degle taltainis, that should only apply to soup. But by water, once it doesn't even have to go down to room temperature. Once it's below yatzah levis and you put it back on top of the fire, that part of the blech that's directly above the burner, above the fire, that should be l'choladeh b'shalach b'shal deraisa. So then, but that's quite a condemnation, because that's what a lot of people did. Years ago, a lot of people, it was very common, people drank tea. Jewish people drank tea. Those who came from Russia drank Russian tea. Those who came from England drank English tea, with or without milk. Sure. Shabbos, you don't have a British tea with milk, so you have plain, you have Russian tea. So that was a common practice, that they only left on one of the burners, and they had a big blech that covered all the four burners, or two burners, whatever. And when the soup was on the center of attraction, when the soup was on top of the burner, so the kettle with the water was on the side, and when the flesh was on top of the burner, when you're serving the soup already, and you took the soup off, then you put the flesh on the burner, so the kettle with the water is on the side, and then when you put it back on top, so it's below yatzaladis, you put it above yatzaladis. So at the end, the Egletal tries to kvetchais in the Kuntra Sachran, at the end of the Sefer, he tries to back out from that idea. But Rav Soloveitchik said over the original idea that he said was very strong, that by water everyone should agree that yesh bishalach habishal, once it goes below the point of yatzaladis, you're not allowed to make it above Yatzalah. How everybody does it. So good to kasha. In Lachara, the whole machlekes should only be by soup. And by soup, that's where the Ramor made a compromise. The compromise is because Mikra, then we hold, ain't Bishalach Abishal, the soup. If the din would have been Yesh Bishalach Abishal and soup, it should have been the same as water. Once it goes below the point of Yatzalah, you're not allowed to make it go back up. So, but the Ramor made a compromise because Mikra, then ain't Bishalach Abishal. Soup is really the same as chicken. And he made a little compromise. If it's nitzana legamre, if it went down to room temperature, then we say it's a nesini mechadish. So here, when the Rama says you have to be careful, learn nitzana legamre, so whereas the Magen Avraham understands that that's one of the conditions to allow hachazore, even in a dover gush, you have to have a blech, oyde biyode, v'dayta lahachse, v'loy nitzana legamre, if it's nitzana legamre, even on the chicken or the kugel, it's also an Isar of Achazora. It's not a Hemshech from before. It's called an Asinim Echadosh. Therefore, it applies equally to Dova Gush and a Dova Lach. And the Vilna Gaon writes, Kanal, as mentioned above, means no. By Dova Gush, this Klal doesn't apply. If someone is holding the pot with the chicken, and they're serving it to different people, and it cools down to room temperature, but it was owed to be out of a Daita Lahachzir, And there's a blech, so you're allowed to put it back, even though it's nistana legamre. This nistana legamre is a repeat of what the Rama said previously, that you have to be careful when you do hachazar, you have to be careful not to violate bishul. You can't violate bishul deraisa. So the Rama was machmer by dova lach, that if it's nistana legamre, we're machmer that yesh bishul hachadishul. So according to the Bir Agro, this learned nistana legamre only applies to soup. It doesn't apply to chicken, it doesn't apply to kugel, only applies to dova lach, doesn't apply to dova gush. Then there's a question, how do you determine what's a dova gush and what's a dova lach? Let's say something at room temperature, you have some kind of a thick cholent, a pecha, something like that. At room temperature, it'll be a solid, but when you heat it, when you leave it in the refrigerator, for sure it's going to solidify. Even when you take it out and it goes down to room temperature, it'll still be a solid. When you heat it, then it'll be then it'll liquefy. So is that considered a dova lach? So nitzana legamre is going to be a problem, and it'll be a problem of bishul habishul the dova lach. Or do you consider that a dova gush? So the Shulchan Aruch says, so that's the end of the siddur. and the Resh Nun Gimel. So the so I think the Magen Avraham says it all depends what it would be at room temperature. It all depends what it would be. Let's say if you take something out of the refrigerator right now, it's in the solid state, like a pudding. But if you leave it at room temperature, it'll liquefy. So room temperature liquefy, I treat it like a dover lach. But if at room temperature, it'll still be in a solid state. When you heat it, then it'll liquefy. A lot of times schmaltz. Room temperature, it'll be so thick, it'll be in a solid state. If you heat the schmaltz, then it liquefies. So then the Magen Avraham says, we treat that like a... If a room temperature will be in a solid state, even though when you're going to put it on the fire, it'll melt and it'll liquefy. So we treat that like a dover gush, not like a dover lach. Okay, we did more details, but we know that next week we'll have to work out some of the rest of the details. But I imagine every time we're going to go through these things, we're going to have to give an introduction again. I remember years ago, I used to give a weekly shia once every Thursday night. I used to give a shia in Perikira. So every week, we always had to start again from the beginning because everybody forgot what we learned the previous week. And we did it so many weeks in a row that everybody knew the beginning of Perikira by heart. Just a short comment on the end of today's sedra, the Torah has that.
Why is this sounding like Amri worse than just taking it out of the refrigerator by Chazorah?
It's not worse. Maybe it's better.
You take out of the refrigerator and put on the block.
No. You take out the refrigerator and put on the block. That's how Chazara.
Take out the refrigerator and put on the block.
No, you can't.
Chazara.
No, Chazara is not allowed. Only if you have a block and it was on the fire before Shabbos. You need all the conditions.
Well, what happens if you have food in the refrigerator? How do you put it on the blech?
Rebbe, is he referring to a blech? Is he referring to the electric platas that don't have controls?
No. A regular blech, and you put a piece of a blech over the fire. Can't you take a chicken out of the refrigerator and put it on the blech?
No, you cannot. That's the whole
thing.
You're not allowed to. In our Torah, it's muta because they bishloach at bishlo, but the rabbi
kli agabe kli.
Right, we'll have to discuss kli agabe kli. We'll have to discuss it. And then the Ramah has another kula based on a reading in the Yerushalmi. The Ran in the Yerushalmi, it's a very funny case that all these dinim of Hachazara only go in the case where the food was in the fire in Erev Shabbos and someone took it off of the fire. And Erev Shabbos, and they're walking around with the pot in their hand. One halabas, the bench is lift. She's walking around with the pot in her left hand. Then she benches lift with the right hand. Now it's already Shabbos for her. Is she allowed to put it back on top of the fire on Shabbos? But if the pot was on the fire on Erev Shabbos, when Shabbos entered, then even if you put it on the floor and you put it back on top of the fire, that's okay. If whatever pot was on the fire in the beginning of Shabbos, you can put back on top of the fire in Shabbos. You don't need all the other b'dayt al achsa. So there was such a gifts in the Yerushalmi. You look at our Yerushalmi, we don't have it. In our Yerushalmi, it's a run-on paragraph. Ron had it as one sentence, but we have it as two different paragraphs. Ron had a run-on paragraph. So the first paragraph leads into the second. That's what the Mefarshim say. The Rambam doesn't quote that Yerushalmi. Rambam usually is more in the practice of quoting Yerushalmi than other Rishonim. So the Rambam doesn't quote this to Yerushalmi. So the Mefarshim on Yerushalmi say, the Rambam probably had the use of the way it's printed by us, that there is no such Yerushalmi. So to take food out of the refrigerator, put it on top of the blech, we usually assume is not allowed. The Rambam quotes such a practice that they had in Krakow where he lived, that whatever food was on the blech in the beginning of Shabbos, even though he took it off, he can put it back on Shabbos, and he recommends you shouldn't follow that practice, even though the Ran had that girsa, but the other Rishonim didn't have that girsa in the Rishonim. So that's exactly what you're not allowed to do.
Chazorah is only if it'll come to Yatzaletis, but if you put it back on the blech, where it's not Yatzaletis, but there's no problem.
Right, that says Shulchan Aruch. Chazorah is only awesome. Mechaber writes that from the Rishonim. So it's only us if it's going to reach the point of the Yatzaletis. So let's say I'll watch it. I'll take the food out of the refrigerator and put it on top of the blech. And if I leave it long enough, it will become Yatzaletis. So I'll be careful not to leave it so long. So all the Rishonim say you're not allowed to do that. if you put it in a location that even if you leave it till after Shabbos is over, till after Havdalah, it won't reach Atzalah. So that's not a problem of, that doesn't pose a problem of Hachazara. But if you put it in a location on top of the blech, where if you leave it long enough, it will become Yatzoletis. So they're not even allowed to leave it temporarily and watch it because of the chashash that you may forget. Yeah.
We said at the beginning that the definition of bishul for a solid is to make it edible, whereas for a liquid is Yatzoletis because it's already edible. What about a solid that's already edible without cooking? Let's say you take an apple, you make a baked apple. Is that the same? So does it have the same criteria like a liquid? Like we said, over here it would be like the rice, maybe, I don't know.
So that's a very major shaila. We mentioned like this, is a din bishul akum. That is, my next door neighbor cooks some food, I'm not allowed to eat bishul akum in the rabbana, even though I was watching and I see all the ingredients are kosher, because of chasnus, it may lead to intermarriage. So the Gemara says the gzera de rabbanan doesn't apply if the food is such as nechel kamo shul chai. He made a baked apple for me. I could have eaten the apple without him baking the apple. It was good without the baking. Well, that's a corn on the cob. You can eat corn on the cob without cooking it also. It tastes delicious. In many countries, they eat corn on the cob without cooking it. But our minig usually is, in America, we usually cook it. But whatever is nechal, kamo shul chai, there's no isa bishul akum. So that's a question. Is that a special kulan bishul akum? Because the only time there's a concern that it may lead to intermarriage is if the nature of the food is such that you couldn't have eaten it, people wouldn't eat it unless someone would cook it. So I owe a debt of gratitude to the Nochri, to the next door neighbor, that he cooked it for me. So I may enjoy it so much, I may decide to marry his daughter, or our children may decide to get married. But if it's Nechel Kmo Shul Chai, so then they never made a gzera of Bishul Akum, because you don't owe so much of a debt of gratitude to the Nochri. So some of the Achranim say, no, it's not a prat in Hilchas Bishul Akum, because you won't be so indebted. It's a definition of bishul. Whenever you cook food, that's nechok moshu chai, even on the level of the rice, of bishul on Shabbos. Since the apple was edible without baking it, so when you cook it, you didn't make it roi lachila. We said there are three different parts. The Rama list saw three different parts to the prohibition of bishul. Bishul on food items, bishul on liquids, and bishul on non-edible items, on pegs of wood, and on tar, and on other things like that. So the definition of bishul by food items, by edible items, is if you make it roi lachila. But here it was roi lachila before. So by definition, whatever is nechel kmo shul chai, you simply can't violate bishul deraisa at all, period. There's no way to violate bishul deraisa on an apple. Something nechel kmo shul chai. So quite a few achrayim say like that. That from the Rambam is mashma, that whatever is nechel kmo shul chai, you simply can't violate bishul deraisa on Shabbos. There's no way to violate bishul deraisa. We'll have to continue next week. We'll have to continue with the rest of the din. I just want to say a brief Torah at the end of this sedra. You have that Yosef bought up all the land and all the people and all the behemoths and everything. He had everything. So he rented out all the fields, and he said they can use the fields to plant, and they can keep 80% of the tvua that grows, and he wants chamishas ha-tvua lepara. He wants 20% is tax. So you see from the Chumash that the government has a right to levy a tax on the people. The government has a right to has to be a reasonable tax. That's dina de malchus dina. If it's reasonable, if it's unreasonable, then the Rishonim call it gazlanusa de malchus, achamsanusa de malchus. Dina malchus means if it's a fair tax. If you're gonna, let's say you have graduated taxes, so the people who earn much more money pay 40% income tax. People who earn less money pay 20%. So we assume, Rishonim say that that's fair. The Mishnah is like that's fair. But if they discriminate, let's say, against the Jews and make the Jews have to pay 40%, everybody else pays 20% tax, Jews pay 40%. Or they don't like doctors, so they say doctors, lawyers pay 20%, and doctors they don't like, or whatever. There's some category of the citizens in the country they hold something against them, so they make pay high tax. And there's no valid reason, so that's called gazlan usan machaz. Whatever is reasonable, you have to pay the taxes. So the there's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. What is this based on? Why does the government have the right to charge tax? So the Ran in Adarim, when the Gemara in Adarim says dina machus adina, the government has the right to charge tax. So the Raman says if you don't pay tax, it goes on menas hamelach. You're stealing what belongs to the melech. Melech is entitled to the tax. So the Ran on Adarim quotes from the Bali Ateis. This is only if you live in Chutz Laretz. So the country belongs to the Queen of England, or the country belongs to the King of France, or the Emperor, whoever. The country belongs to the Emperor. So if you want to live in his country, he has the right to charge you rent. So instead of figuring out that everyone should pay rent, so he says, pay income tax. Pay me 20% of what you earn, paying 30% of what you earn, and that'll be the rent. If you don't want to pay the rent, so move out of my country. I own the karka. So that's what happened over here, that Yosef bought up all the karka. He bought up all the people as avodim. He bought up all the behemoths. Everything belonged to the government. Then he was renting everything to the people. So he said, I give you permission to use the karka, and you have the right to keep 80% of the tefuah, and I want you to pay me rent, 20%. So the Ran says, in the name of the Bali Ateis, Bamed var manu mechutz loretz. But Eretz Yisrael says, Nuchamish keli kol haaretz. The whole land belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rebbeinu Shalom told his children in Israel, he wants us all to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rebbeinu Shalom is the balabos. He's the melech over Eretz Yisrael. And he gave us permission, not the rabbi, not permission. He wants us all to live in Eretz Yisrael. So no government has the right to charge us tax in Eretz Yisrael. The obligation to pay tax is based on the theory that that's the rent that you have to pay. That's the Shita Saran B'Shem Bali Ateis. It's on Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't even have honorable mention. They mention it, that we don't accept that Ran. They follow the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch. Different parts of the Shulchan Aruch they are based on different Rishonim, like those who learn Yeridei Chelek Aleph. Everything is really based on the Rashba and Teres Abayis. And big chunks of Chash Mishpat are based on the Sefer HaTrumos. And the other parts of the Shulchan Aruch are based on the Rambam, word for word, straight from the Mishnah Torah of the Rambam. So when it comes to Dina Machus Dina, the Shulchan Aruch quotes verbatim from the Rambam, even a Goyish and Melech and Chutz Loretz also has a right to charge tax. A Jewish Melech and Eretz Yisrael for sure has a right to charge tax. The Hepah from the Ran and the Dor Mishen Bali Ateis is why? Because the Rambam holds that the regional mocker of taxation is Parshas HaMelech, and Sefer Shmuel, when the people came to Shmuel HaNavi, and they requested, they don't want to have a shofet. They don't want to have him as the leader. They'd rather have a melech. So Shmuel was insulted, and he said, what's wrong with my leadership? You're not happy? So he read them the riot act, and he started to tell them, you know what you're in for? You're going to get a melech. He's going to draft your children, your sons, into the army. He's going to take your daughters as bilakshim. He's going to make you pay taxes, etc., etc., etc. So the Gemara in the second parak on Sanhedrin has a machlekes for Rabbi Shmuel regarding all the things that Shmuel is warning the tzibur. You don't want a melech because these are what the melech does. Kol ha'murim, kol ha'dorim ha'murim epashas melech. His melech osur bo. These are the evils of the melech that he does all of these things. He levies taxes and he dressed his sons into the army and he takes bilakshim. These are all the things that the melech does. Shaloi kedin. Or do you say no? Shmuel, we assume like Shmuel. Kolam and Parshas Melech, Melech Mutabo. Whatever it says, that's Parshas HaMelech. And say for Shmuel, the drasha that Shmuel gave to the Tzibur, why he's recommending they shouldn't go for a Melech, that's called Parshas HaMelech. So he says the king is going to levy taxes. So he was warning them. So you see, Melech Mutabo. So that's what the Bir Agra writes, that Shmuel is the one who says Dina Namachus Adina. The Meiri has this also. The Shmuel is the one who says in the Gemara Dina Namachus Adina, that Shmuel is Shitasai. That in the second parak in Sanhedrin, Shmuel is the one who says, Kolam el Parshas Melech, Melech Mutabo. So the original Pasuk in Parshas Melech is the Jewish Melech in Eretz Yisrael. The Chiddush of Shmuel is that it even applies to Goyish and Melech in Chutz Laretz, but it certainly applies to the Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So that used to be a machlokes between the Ran, B'Shem Bali Ateisus, and the Rambam, whether you have to pay taxes in Eretz Yisrael, when the taxes go to the Melech. And the Rambam says, whoever doesn't pay taxes, Gezel Menas HaMelech, he's stealing the money that's rightfully the king has the right to that money. This man is that we're dealing with the Israeli government, the democracy. An American country is a democracy, to each country to one degree or another, but basically they're all democracies. So the money doesn't go to enrich anybody. Mr. Trump is not getting rich on his salary. The money doesn't go to Trump. The president is entitled to get a salary. He doesn't have to give it back to the government. The president, he works all day and all night. He's entitled to get a salary. And all the congressmen are entitled to salary. The money goes to cover all the expenses. So really, if you live in a... It says in Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat, there's a section that's called Hilchos Shluchim Meshutfim. So they have all the dinim of Shutfim. So one of the dinim of Shutfim there is that if you have a group of people in the city, they're all considered Shutfim, even though they never joined any Shutfis. We were born in... I was born in Pennsylvania. So Kozman, I lived in Pennsylvania. So we were Shutfim on three levels. There are certain things that are paid for by the federal government. The mail delivery is paid for by the federal government. And the army is paid for by the federal government. Certain things. Other things are paid for by the state government, and other things are paid for by the municipal government. The water purification and the garbage collection and other things. So all the people that live in New York City are Shutfim on three different levels. We're Shutfim on a national level, we're Shutfim on a state level, and we're Shutfim on a municipal level. So mechuyev have to pay taxes because that's a din of Shutfim. If you have a group of Shutfim and they all share certain things in common, let's say you need education for the children. Most of the people in New York are not Jewish, and most of the people feel that we need public schools. So even the minority who send their children to yeshivas, or even the minority who don't have any children, their children are married already, so they don't need any school, they don't need any public school, they don't need any schools. The din is that you go basaroy, the pasuk says, acharam lahatas. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, it's a tosefta, whenever you have shutfin, let's say they have a shoe store, and they have a machlekes, they had a successful year, they had a machlekes, how should they proceed for next year? So you have 10 shutfin, and 8 out of the 10 shutfim say, we shouldn't take any profit this year. We should take all the revach that we made this year and make a branch in Paris. And next year make a branch in London also, instead of taking the revach. So the year after, we'll get 10 times as much revach. And 2 of the 10 shutfim don't want. So the din is, you go basarayv. The Bir Agra writes, what's the marker for that din? That whenever the Tosefta has such a din, whenever you have a shutfis, whenever you have a corporation and they take a vote, so you go basurav. So he said the pasuk in Chumash, acharam lahatas, applies to shutfim also. So since most of the people in New York want to have a public school, so all of us are mechuyev to chip in to pay for the public schools. Let's say Jewish people live in a community, so most of the people want to have an Erev. Some people are opposed to an Erev, so the din is even those who are opposed, if our din is possible to make an Erev, so the Rav have a right to force the miyut. Or let's say they need a rabbi, or they need a mikveh, or you need a Beis HaKnesses, or you need a Sefer Torah. So the rabbim can force the miyut. It says, if it's not clear whether it's a gerecht taina or not, then it depends on what the rabbim say. Sometimes we say the miyut have the gerecht taina. So even if only a miyut want to have a mikveh, and a miyut want to have a shul, miyut want to have a rabbi, the rabbim don't want a rabbi, the miyut want a rabbi, the miyut can force the rabbim to pay the salary of the rabbi, because we all have a din of shutfim together for things that we share in common, and you have to vote on it. If nobody wants a rabbi, so there's no one there to force them. But if there's a split vote, so usually you go basarayv, and sometimes it says you don't even have to go basarayv. So whenever you have a democracy, and the money is not going to enrich the king, so it's not gezel menas hamelach like the Rambam says. So it's a din of shutfin. So then if someone's not going to pay taxes, it has nothing to do with paying rent. So the whole argument of the Ran doesn't apply this man. Is that the Ran says, he quotes in the name of the Balei HaTesis, the Ran in the middle of Nidor, and quotes in the name of the Balei HaTesis, that in Eretz Yisrael you don't have to pay income tax, because the Yisoid of Dina de Machuse in the end of Parshas Vayigash is based on paying rent. Since the karka belongs to Paro, he has a right, and every king owns the karka, so he has a right to charge rent. If you want to live in that country, you got to pay rent. And the rent is the income tax that you pay. But Bizman is there. It's not the, and the Rebbeinu Shlomo gave us all permission to live in Eretz Yisrael, so we don't have to pay anybody rent. But today, if you assume that the taxes go, they cover the expenses of the army and the water purification and the garbage collection and the police and the fire department, etc., and the highways and everything. So then we're all shutfim. So if I don't pay rent, I'm stealing from the other shutfim. That's why my taxes are 5 times as high as they should have been, because so many other people are cheating on taxes. The other people are stealing from me. They're not stealing from the federal government. It's not Gezelakam. They're not stealing from the Goyisha government. The Goyisha government is the master of ceremonies over here. They're stealing from all the other shutfim. Those people like me who do pay taxes are paying much higher taxes because all the other shutfim are stealing. They're cheating from us. So that's the din, what taxes used to be, and what the din, what taxes are, bizman hazeh. It's a whole different story. Okay, so we should all be healthy. Next week we will continue. We'll have to start again from the beginning a little bit. Okay.
Okay. Good.
Thank you so much.
Shkoyach, shkoyach.
Rochester, I have a question. Am I allowed to take soup from the refrigerator and put it on a right before Shabbos, a few minutes before Shabbos? And it's an Israeli hot plate, so it's going to get way above Yad Saledes when Shabbos will already start. But I'm doing all of my actions before Shabbos.
So let's see. Is that an Issa of Shehiya? Shehiya is Shema Yechata. There are different kinds of hot plates. Sometimes it can be regulated to make it higher or lower. And some of them only have one setting. It's either on or off. Rav Moshe Feinstein and many others assume that the Gzeira de Rabbonon, all these Gzeiras, Shia, Achzar, is only made if it's a Shashem Yechata, was only made if your fate is going to make it higher or low. But to turn it on from off, to turn it off from on, that we're not afraid is going to do. So if the hot plate is such that it can't be regulated higher or lower, it's just either on or off, then there's no chashash. So many poskim are of the opinion that there's no concern of shehiyah, because there's no shamei chata, you can't make it higher or lower. And the mele, the way we poskim, that Hachazora is also Shem Yechate. It's not that it's Bishol Midirabonim, not that Lechzik in the Vashon, not the Chach Nisvarat, but rather also Shem Yechate. But to take food out from the refrigerator to put it on a hot plate, it can't be regulated. So many poskim hold that that's Mutter on Shabbos. Because there is no Shem Yechate. There's nothing to be Mechate about. But Tzitkei, so Frank and others, when they first came up with these hot plates, others were of the opinion that if you have a hot plate that can't be regulated, so that's like Rufa Ktuma. That's going to, just like after Rufa Ktuma, you have a blech to remind them not to fool around. So if the hot plate can't be tampered with, so that's the equivalent of Rufa Ktuma. The Rufa Ktuma is not enough. After that way, the other would like to laugh some learning. It's not a legam. You need all the other conditions. And other people don't know. If it can't be, the blech is a reminder not to be mechate. You need a hacker. But if the nature of the thing is such, there's nothing to be mechate about. It's either on or off. But you can't make it higher or lower. So others were of the opinion, no, the old Zerub Shem Yechate doesn't apply yet. I would think if the hot plate is such that it can't exist at all, and many follow that opinion, if you have a hot plate that can't be, it has no control to make it higher or lower. There's no chitui at all, but then that would be mutter. That wouldn't be a problem.
And do Sephardim hold from that too?
Do the Sephardim hold from that too? I'm not familiar that this should be an issue between Ashkenaz and Sephardim. We have to talk next week. There is an issue that many of the Sephardim are mekalon. If you have a blech, they hold whenever there's a blech, it's called shalal gabi yoish. Whatever you put on top of the blech, so you can take out food, what you said before, you can take out food from the refrigerator, put it on top of the blech, because that's not agabi yoish. So all the Ashkenazi poskim hold that it is agabi yoish. You have kder, agabi kder, and there's food in the bottom kder. That's called shalal gabi yoish. The food in the bottom pot, if you have a double boiler, so the water of the food in the bottom pot is agabi yoish. let's say you have a samovar, so there's an element on the bottom, and the water in the samovar is agabi hoesh. And then I take off the lid from the samovar and I put a plate of flesh on top. So the flake from the refrigerator, take it out from the refrigerator. So that's ein bishul hachabishul, on the level of the rice, there's no problem. And it's not called hachazara because it's not al-gabi hu'esh. The water in the samovar is al-gabi hu'esh. But since this is a kedera, al-gabi kedera, so the food in the upper plate is not considered al-gabi hu'esh. But if you have a double boiler in all the cafeterias, in all the hotels, they often use a double boiler. So they have a fire on the bottom and a container full of water, and then they take out vegetables from the refrigerator, a dove or a goosh, and they reheat it by putting it in a plate, in a tray, on top of the container with the burning hot water. So the burning hot water is agabi hoesh. And the tray with the vegetables that they want to heat up, or the chicken, or the cook, or whatever, that's a kedera, agabi kedera. So the food in the bottom kedera is agabi hoesh, the food in the top kedera is not. But if you put food on top of the blech, the Ashkenazi poskim, that is considered agabi hoesh. Blech is just a reminder, a hekera, that you shouldn't be machatah b'yirhomah. I don't think there's an issue. I don't think this is... But Tzipesach Frank, they were all Ashkenazim. Tzipesach Frank felt that if it can't be regulated, it's equivalent to Ruach HaKdumah, that's not enough to be matir. It's better than Ruach HaKdumah. Ruach HaKdumah is a material. Can't be regulated at all, so they made the whole zero.
Because I thought this vitamin don't care about Shem Yichata B'Kholim by Hachzav. It's a Bishul Acher Bishul Midrabbanan. So even though it's not Shem Yichata B'Kholim issue, you still have an issue with Bishul Acher Bishul.
Oh, those vitamin. Oh.
Yeah. By Hachzav on the Plata. But then you had said that the Sephardish poskim held that it would be something, the newer, I forgot what you said.
I'm not sure if the Sephardim followed those Chachmei Svarim from the days of the Rishon. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Chachmei Svarim, the days of the Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Ran, they all go with a different sheet. The Hachazar is Bishol HaChadishol. Mochomer. Shemichata for sure. But it's even more chomer. It's bishul achabishul also.
Right.
But I'm not sure that the Sephardim today follow those sheets.
Okay. And what Stanley just asked about putting the soup on right before Shabbos, wouldn't that have been mutter for the Lithuanians on a regular blech, and only according to Rabbi Akiva Eger would have been a problem? But what Stanley wanted to do was mutter even on a regular blech right before Shabbos. You don't need the hot plate.
Even on a regular blech.
Because we hold, well, the Lithuanians don't hold like Rabbi Akiva Eger's chumra.
Yeah, nachon. Yeah, even if it's raw, even if this stuff was never cooked at all, once you have a blach, everything is mutter. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
We'll have to review and some more. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Good night. Thank you.
Good night.